Hi, you're listening to Radio Nyra on 99.9 HDF4. I'm Abby, and this is back to our show of Health Beyond Borders, a holistic and inclusive approach to health, as we highlight physicians across the community who are really exploring valuable treatment and using their advice to take better care of health. Please welcome Dr. Vyas, an internal medicine physician here in North Carolina. Thank you so much for your time today. How are we doing?
Good. Great. Beautiful day today. Sitting
Thank you,
outside
thank you.
listening
So,
to
Dr. Vyas,
birds. Yeah.
got you. Yeah, so Dr. Vyas, before again we get started with the questions here, I'd like you to, in your own words, if you can, explain to the listeners the objective of the Eastern Carolina Medical Center that you've helped found here, again, which has made such a huge, incredible contribution to the community here in Benson, and just again, what made you kind of decide to found the Eastern Carolina Medical Center?
When I came first to USA back in 82 February and joined residency program in Chicago, I had no idea of how medicine world is in USA. I didn't know any doctors in USA who I could communicate with when I was back in India. I had absolutely zero idea. Once I finished my residency, I had some idea as to how medical practice would be, but then again, being in Chicago, in downtown Chicago, in a county hospital, a 2,000-bed hospital in a huge city, the practice of medicine is totally different there than what it is in little town of Benson in North Carolina, which is only 4,500 population. When I came, it was in 1987 when I started my practice, the population of Benson was 4,500. The population today is 4,500. That's it. That's small of
So
a town.
again,
But of course, with I-40 in the area now, the drainage area for me, the catchment area for me is about 300,000 patients. So it's grown over the years, but that's how small the town was when I first came. So the practice metrics was totally different. And I learned only as I went along. I had no idea as to how my life will evolve here. But when I came, I was the first foreign doctor in the area, and people had scared me already to begin with that North Carolina could be red collar, all the country folks and rednecks and all that, and I'll have a tough time being a foreigner to get established. I was already a little scared, but then I never felt anything like that from the community. The only resistance, if at all, the only resistance was from the other doctors and a little bit from the administration, just a little. I mean, I really cannot say that. Just a few doctors who were a little intimidated by me only because I was so aggressive and just such a go-getter, such a hustler. They were all normal people working 40 hours a week, and I was doing 80, 90 hours a week. So
Trying to
my, yeah, to try to get established faster and all that. I never had the idea of making a lot of money, but I did have a desire to be the best at what I do. So that's how I was trying to do the best, to build the practice as quickly as possible and so forth. And I did. I was able to do all that. But in the interim, I really was not very popular amongst the other doctors. But then everybody
That's
got over it with time, and I was able to establish more and more larger practice. I was able to get more employees, more doctors working for me. And then I had
right.
to there are a vision of bringing service to the small town that otherwise would not be available to people, that they would have to go to Raleigh. They would have to go to Raleigh for that, or to Duke for
Which is,
that, or
yeah, quite
Chapel Hill for that.
right.
So I was able to bring a lot of those services in town, which did not exist at that time. Of course, that all requires investment and money and all that, which all came with time. And at some point in
Right.
time, I had like three doctors and three PAs working for me. I had like 50 some employees, and I was able to build a 25,000 square foot office building that I still, of course, have, and maximize my potential there. And now, 37 years out, I'm
Moving it
still
along,
as
trying to
excited to go
scale.
to work as I was the first day.
Right.
I mean, I do not ever wake up and not want to go to work. I still look forward to Monday morning. So that's how
So
much
a
I
few
expect.
questions that I want is that, again, Benson, like you mentioned, is quite a smaller town compared to where you've been before. So I wanted to ask, compared to your experience that you've had in Chicago, how the healthcare, again, has really changed from when you were coming from Chicago to now trying to establish that here in North Carolina in terms of the community. Did you feel a little bit more tight-knit when you're treating these people? Or how did that really change once you came from India, even? Did you see any similarities that made you, again, establish the Eastern Carolina Medical Center? Things like that. Were there any things in your previous experiences that helped really push that along?
So between India and here, we all know that in India there is no value to life. People are not treated like people. It's very different. Here, every life has value. So even a 90-year-old patient would want everything done for him, like including open heart surgery and so forth. I mean, I have patients at age 80, 90, they go through open heart surgery. In India, somebody after age 70 would think that they have lived long enough. They don't need anything done now. It's in God's hand. But that's how much different awareness is here. People are very aware of their health and would want everything done to them. So that means that we have to do more preventive services here and give more attention to elderly as well. So lots of my patients are like 70 plus, they come regularly, like every 3 months or however often they need to come, as compared to in India, and they would come to you only when they are nearly dying. And nobody comes for preventive care. There is nothing like preventive care in India. So definitely very different philosophy in India versus here. As compared to Chicago versus Benson. So in Chicago, I was in a big hospital, like I said, downtown hospital, very county hospital, so a different kind of clientele. Most of the patients were very poor, alcoholic, drug addicts, lots of them homeless. So they come with gangrene in their foot and not even know what's wrong with them. Those kind of things. Very, 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 very sick patients. Here, obviously, we don't see that sick patient. A lot healthier patient with bad lifestyle, smoking, bad eating habits, extremely overweight, high cholesterol, bad diabetics. So our goal is to try to change their lifestyle and try to give them best possible outcome. So more of an outpatient practice here. In Chicago, it was more, or actually all inpatient hospital practice, a lot sicker patient. So here now I don't even go to hospital anymore. I did for many years. Now I do only office-based practice. So basically a lot of preventive practice to try to avoid bad outcomes.
And so one thing that I wanted to branch off of on that, again, preventative care. Eastern Carolina is really trying to focus that it's a one-stop shop for medical needs. And so how does that really get incorporated when you're give some preventative care and everything else? What distinguishes Eastern Carolina as a one-stop shop compared to a regular hospital in terms of the
Great
things that you
question.
guys are trying to do?
A great question. Great question. So I do not personally know any doctor's office anywhere, and I've been told this by many other people who live in different states and also different part of the state here, that there is not a single office which has ability to do, for example, mammogram, lots of cardiac testing like stress test, ultrasound, lots of other heart testing, all kind of lab, all kind of x-rays, mammography, do CT scan, nuclear camera, everything under one roof. So everything the patient needs, primarily I can do except for, say, colonoscopy. That's the only thing I
Which
cannot
is
do in my
again
office.
very impressive. I'm very used to any hospital that we've seen. They kind of recommend you to somewhere else outpatient that a patient would then have to drive, get that testing and report back. Really impressive that everything is there so that the care is a lot faster and more efficient. So again, is that, again, like you mentioned, colonoscopy, is that a vision that you have in the future? Is that the next thing that you're trying to add to make sure that patients can have available to them? What are some of the objectives that you have in the upcoming future that you'd like to add to the to improve Eastern Carolina?
There is nothing really that I can add at this point that is available as an outpatient. Everything else will require a surgical center. which I cannot do,
Okay, gotcha.
or MRI that I cannot bring because I don't have that volume. So I maximized my ability to bring all the outpatient services under one roof. The last thing I did was pharmacy, which I did not have. So some years ago, I met this young man, Dr. Ritesh Patel, a very entrepreneurial pharmacist, and I brought him along, and now we have a full-fledged pharmacy in-house with like four pharmacists, multiple technicians, and we provide 24-hour care to people, which nobody will do in the whole country, guaranteed. Like, for example, 2 o'clock in the morning, if a diabetic patient woke up with a very low sugar, they would end up calling 911 and end up going to emergency room. When you go to emergency room, the bill is $20,000, regardless of what symptoms you have. So in this case, they could call one of my pharmacists, 2 o'clock in the morning, they would tell them what to do and avoid that hospital visit. Nobody in the country, well, not that I know of, nobody does this. Nobody provides this kind of service. Likewise, we are available 24 hours a day. Nobody else is. So anytime anybody can get to me through somebody who is going to call for me, not directly, but through somebody. So if they have somebody who they can talk to for any ailments, including minor things like UTI, bladder infection, which is not an emergency. But every time you go pee, you burn like hell and you pee 50 times a day. So to a patient, it's an emergency. But for that, if you go to the emergency room, it's going to cost you 6 hours of waiting and thousands of dollars. But if
Right,
they call
given the
my,
time.
yeah, but if they call my hotline, we can resolve that issue in 5 minutes without any cost to the patient. So these kind of things I have always wanted to do, to be able to provide comprehensive care at a reasonable cost.
At a reasonable cost is a great emphasis to have because that's a part that even across the country that we're kind of struggling to really make sure is available at all times. So again, it's
Yeah,
great that we have that here.
imagine this scenario. If you have severe headache and if you go to emergency room, when they do a CAT scan, the CAT scan will cost you $2,000. The same CAT scan I can do in my office for 350. The same CAT scan done on the same machine by a similar technician and read by a similar radiologist, we can do for 350. That's how much of the difference of cost reimbursement that there is. Ridiculous, but that's how it works. So I can do a whole lot cheaper care, five, six, 10 times cheaper care than emergency rooms for any emergency. Lots of even non-emergency cases. Even non-emergency thing like somebody want to do a CAT scan of the chest because they've been a heavy smoker, they can do for $300. Hospital will do for $1,200-$1,500. So that's how much
That's
different.
that. Yeah, it's really impressive considering how many, again, with insurance and everything else that you would have to really coordinate with to make sure that people have that available at all times and given to them at that price, right? I'd imagine with insurance that again, it takes a good amount of deal in lobbying with them to make sure that you're willing to give it at that price, which is again very impressive. One thing that I'd like to ask about is that from your medical contributions here at Eastern Carolina Medical Center, you have a lot of community-focused objectives here, whether it's parks, whether it's again interacting with the Hindu community here. There's a lot of things that you're trying to do to help the community outside of the hospital. And I want to ask, why do you think that's so important to you? Why do you value it? What type of effect that has when again you start to build those objectives as well?
Well, I've always felt that to me, my religion is really humanity. I may be Hindu, but I don't go to temple. I don't really pray to any particular god every day. But doing good things for people is probably what I believe as a religion to me. So I never say no to any patient who needs health care and doesn't have any money. So over the years, I have like about 800 patients that I see who cannot otherwise afford health care. And not only just providing my service, but also all the testing I can do in-house and all the medicine that they need. I can give all these things for free to them because I own the practice. I've really enjoyed that, being able to give things that otherwise people cannot get. The gratitude, that love that you feel back from them, and the satisfaction of doing that is very important to me. Now, outside my hospital practice, there are a little town of Benson. It doesn't have that much of funding coming from government, so we don't have things like soccer field and volleyball field and football field and all that. So, I wanted to do those things. I've done a few parks in the area. I've done recreation center, so older people can come and have a the evening dance, senior citizen dance, for the church meeting or post church meeting, those kind of things. So I just to help community out in some ways, and I also believe in giving my money out to where I have made my earning from.
And within the same community, giving it back to them directly rather
Right,
than a
where I have made
donation
it from.
somewhere. Where
Right.
you look
I would
back
rather not
into
send it
things
to,
again.
I mean, what's the point in sending to Red Cross when I can do it right here in, under my nose, and I can see how money is being spent.
Seeing that impact again. Of that money that you've now put into seeing how it helps someone rather than going, sending it somewhere else and just hoping that it eventually made that impact. So again,
Right.
I think it's a great to again keep investing back into the community. One thing that I'd like to again touch back up upon is that, like you had mentioned, Benson is really small and there is again a lot of patients who might not be able to afford care. So is that an issue that you felt like has persisted in Benson, given that it's a smaller community and it's a rural community? Is that an issue that's really prevalent that you've noticed about people not being able to afford care, or is that something here and there?
Well, By not being able to afford, what I mean is that if they have Medicare pays 80% of the care, but the other 20% they have to pay. Plus, the people don't have that 20% because they are living off of Social Security, that's $1,000 a month, maybe. From that, they have to do everything else. If they're in senior citizen apartment or even subsidized apartment, they still cost $200 or whatever. Then the utilities and the groceries and gas bill and this and that. $1,000 doesn't go far, as we know. So they don't have that 20% that they need to pay to the doctor or for medicines or for the testing. And that they would not go anywhere. They'll suffer until they just can't, do it anymore. So in order to help these people, so we would not
Again,
take the
back to
20%. We'll let that 20% go,
experience.
and then I would tell them actually. I do not want them to feel obliged. So I would tell them I have a government grant. That's how I'm supposed to, that's how I'm able to do this. So they don't feel obliged. I don't want them to feel that I'm doing them a favor by not charging them. There is something that I want to do, but I don't want to advertise. I don't want to make them feel that I'm giving them charity. So I tell them that I have government grant. That's why I'm able to do this for them. They don't feel so bad. So they don't feel,
I think the important part too, because people can prevent themselves from even seeking out care if they feel like it's a charity case or anything else. So again, to maintain that relationship and have them again be able to ask for
come
care,
back.
I think is
Right.
honestly
Right.
back
Right.
because
So
a
I
lot
do
of
that. But about 800 patients that I do that for, So that's how I like to give back. And plus beyond all this, I didn't come with anything but $29 in my pocket. And I don't have that big a need. I'm not that extravagant. And I make a lot more money than I need. So I just want to put it to good purpose instead of leaving behind. Both my kids are doing well. They won't need my money. So who is going to get my money ultimately? Bankers and all this, like investment bankers, basically. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to clear out before I die for better
Because
purpose.
people them also prosper. Yes, that's great. So, Dr. Vyas, again, is there any advice that you'd give to people who are now entering healthcare or are trying to do similar things to what you've done, rather than just work-life balance? Is there any other advice that you'd give them to help them be successful?
Yeah, I would say that just be an average. Don't try to do over average thing like I did. I was over ambitious. Which is good for me, but not good for my family. So if you want to have a good balance, a good married life and good happy life, then of course you also have to be responsible for them. So working 80, 90 hours a week, you are definitely doing injustice to your family. Work 50 hours a week max, and make sure that you're able to provide what your family needs in terms of time and love and all that.
Right.
You cannot do both at that
Mm-hmm.
heavy like I did. You can do only one or the other. But balancing, you can balance it well if you do only 50 hours a week work and not 80 hours a week work. Definitely. So I would definitely say that. And then don't go just after money. Money will come anyway. Find a profession that you really love and enjoy doing. Like I
Right.
have
And
right
why do
now.
you think that? Yes, exactly. So, is there any other advice that you'd give to people? Why do you think you love healthcare so much that it's become something that you've loved and devoted this amount of time to? And what would you recommend to people who are out there trying to be successful?
So in healthcare, the way I see it, you can make difference one person at a time. If you do something else, like invent a software somewhere, it might affect thousands of people. But the satisfaction of helping that one person at a time, to me, is so huge that you can only experience it if you have done it yourself. The satisfaction of curing a person of a heart attack or a cancer does not compare to finding a new software somewhere or inventing a new equipment. That's only business as far as I'm concerned. This is very humanitarian work. And it's just like lots of patients here, even today, would see doctors next thing to God. Still, even today, doctors do enjoy different status in the society. Not because of their money, because of what they can do for you. So health industry to me is number one.
Right. In terms of how much you can contribute, no matter what time or day it is, there's so much that you can do to make that impact on somebody else's life profound, rather than just
Yeah.
from before with software, someone can have it. They can have your invention, but it doesn't mean it would be even utilized fully or make the impact that you want it to. But when you're in healthcare, you can have that full direct impact that you'd want to have and make sure that their life is a little bit better.
Absolutely, yes. And you can only ask person who suffers. Somebody with tremendous headache, like severe migraine headache, who are on the verge of committing suicide. Now you can imagine if that person is cured of their headache. If you give something that completely cures their headache, the satisfaction that that person has does not compare to anything else in the world. It's as simple as that. You know?
Well, thank you so much today for your time, Dr. Vyas. This is Abhi again with Health Beyond Borders, and we'll be listening to looking to see you guys next time.
Thank you.
Thank you again,
Thank you,
Dr.
Abhi.
Vyas. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
so
Thank
much
you.
for your
Good luck.
time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Bye-bye.